Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are talking about the Nashville Predators and all things NHL. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, also host of the 31 Thoughts podcast as well. Jeff, what's going on? How you doing?
Robbie, I'm well. Joe, good morning. How you gentlemen doing today?
We are great. Doing wonderful. We appreciate you taking time to join us. And Jeff, let's start here locally with the Nashville Predators. Obviously, a disappointing start to the season. They played a little bit better as of late, winning 4 out of their last 5 games. When you've watched the Predators play so far this season, what stands out to you?
The first thing that jumps out right away for about Nashville is who's going to score goals here. I mean, that seems to be the number one concern. I mean, the goal differential at a dash 15, certainly goaltending and defense have been an issue. But, you know, I think the story with Nashville has been consistent for a number of seasons, really. Who's scoring goals? Not how are they scoring them, but more along the lines of who's going to do the goal scoring here. That seems to be, you know, the Nashville Predators issue for quite some time now. And I think that, you know, this is a team right now that is facing some real tough questions about the future. And listen, there's a real brave general manager in David Poile with the Preds, and someone that's not afraid to make bold moves. And we may be at that time sooner than later, if not already, for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, we've been making fantasy moves for David on David Poile's behalf for weeks now, Jeff. So,
everyone's a GM. Hey, Joe.
It's easy. It's so easy. It's like, here, you take this guy. We'll get these picks. Who on this team do you find to be? Do you believe is most appealing out there? Let's say, like we've kind of said, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg. You know, those are maybe two guys that you don't mess with if you're the Preds. But if you were looking at anybody else on the roster?
To be honest with you, I think Forsberg is available. I think the two that are hands-off are Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis with the Preds, just sort of based on, you know, various conversations around the league to see who could fetch what. I like Philip Forsberg a lot. I hate to give up on skill like that, but if you're going to move someone and get something back, if you're going to start to rebuild this team, that might be the key piece that you do move. Like, I agree with you about Roman Josi. Like, he's going nowhere. One of the elite defensemen in the NHL, and no matter what you're going to do, whether you're going to, you know, shoot for a playoff spot or shoot for a rebuild, you want a player like Roman Josi around. I don't think the team wants to do anything with Ryan Ellis either. But I kind of think that, kind of get the feeling that, you know, David Poile is open for business on just about anybody else on this team. I know they want Pekka Rinne to retire as a Nashville Predator, and his contract is expiring. So we all expect, you know, that to come to its natural conclusion. But I kind of think that, you know, everybody, whether it's, you know, even someone like Dante Fabro or Matthias Ekholm or the aforementioned Philip Forsberg, I think the Preds are ready to do business with any team that'll listen to any of these names right now.
Well, you mentioned Pekka there, Jeff. I have wondered. We've talked a little bit about this. What if there were a contender that really needed someone like him? He was playing really well, and obviously it has to be his blessing. But the idea that maybe he could make one more run at a cup, you know? I mean, do you think there could be some kind of market like that for him?
I think there could be. I think your original point is the right one, though, that it would have to be up to Pekka Rinne. I do get the strong feeling that Nashville wants him to retire as a Pred, and I think that's important to the organization, and I suspect it would be important as well to Pekka Rinne. I don't think he wants his HockeyDB.com to read Nashville, 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 and then a handful of games with another team, right? We've all seen hockey DBs like that before. So it would probably take a lot to convince him to go anywhere if he would even entertain the idea. I kind of see him retiring as a Nashville Predator, and it does feel like the right ending to a career for Pekka Rinne.
Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Jeff, another name you've brought up that's been very popular out there has been Mattias Ekholm, and obviously a contract now that is just very team friendly based on the production that he's had. If you're the Predators, even though it could be a hard decision to move on from a guy like that, what do you think the return could be for a guy like Ekholm, and how attractive of a piece could he be this year on the deadline if that's the direction the Predators decide to go?
He fetches you a lot. Like if you're committing to the rebuild, he gets you prospects and picks. You know, I look at a team like the Philadelphia Flyers with Mattias Ekholm. See, the one thing, and listen, you guys know this a lot better than I do. You're right there with all the games every night. The one thing about Mattias Ekholm, you know, he's been described as that defenseman, you know, all guys around the league, you know, look at what Ekholm is able to do and sort of marvel. The one thing that always stands out about Ekholm, and Nicholas Chalmerson was like that for the longest time as well with the Chicago Blackhawks, there are few, if any, players better in the league at suppressing shots. There are few, if any, better than Mattias Ekholm. Like when the puck is in Nashville's zone, he has this ability to make sure that the puck doesn't end up towards the net. Shot suppression is not a very popular stat amongst casual hockey fans, but amongst the hardcores, it is. And Mattias Ekholm may be top of that list. I can't say enough about the guy, and he's on a very team-friendly deal at 3.75. I think he's, you know, the one guy that if you're looking to shore up your defense for a Stanley Cup run, and let's not forget, too, it's not as if he's on an expiring contract. You do have a little bit of term as well with Mattias Ekholm, and that's why I circle the Flyers, which is a team that, you know, wants to do some damage, wants to round out their blue line. Mattias Ekholm becomes instantly one of the most attractive pieces out there come trade deadline time. If you want to go that direction, it is a tough cut. Like, I get it, man. Like, that's a luxury,
yeah,
having a guy like Mattias Ekholm on your team. But if you're going to say, like, look, man, 2017 is, you know, getting pretty distant in the rearview mirror, and now we're on the shady side of the mountain, not the sunny side of the mountain anymore, you got to make these difficult decisions.
I think we're going to get this all figured out with Jeff today. So I'm,
I think so, too.
I'm gonna go to the next one, Jeff.
Just carving the roster apart here, geez.
That's right. So the league perception of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, what would you say to that?
Underperforming based on compensation. And it's tough, most specifically with Ryan Johansson, who has, you know, laid his body on the line for years for the Nashville Predators. But, you know, you're waiting for the production. You know, you're waiting for, you know, the high-end production based on, you know, you're paying $8 million for Ryan Johansson and you're paying $8 million for Matt Duchene, and you're just not getting it. Like, neither guy, you know, scratching double digits when it comes to production right now, and that's just flat out, you know, not going to get it done. And that's why, off the top, you know, what's the most pressing issue for the Nashville Predators? It's goal scoring. You know, where is the production going to come from? Because it seems as if it's, you know, if it's not Philip Forsberg scoring, then there's a whole bunch of question marks right away. But the interesting thing about all of it right now, and I know that, you know, Dallas has only played 16 games, but there's a playoff spot that's available in the Central. So I can understand where, you know, if you're of the mind, you just need to sneak in and, you know, buy that lottery ticket and see what happens. I mean, this is going to be Tampa on top, followed by a combination of either Carolina and Florida, and that fourth spot is open. Columbus is in disarray. You guys know that. Nashville just went through, you know, Columbus like a hog into truffles. Chicago's played a lot of games, so their numbers are a little bit inflated right now. Dallas is the wild card here because they're playing 500 hockey. They've only played 16 games. We thought they would be better based on what we saw in the bubble, and they still have the potential to turn it around, but there's a playoff spot that's available in the Central. Nothing's wrapped up here for that final playoff spot. Top three look to be almost solidified already, but there's a spot available. So if you're David Poile, do you see enough in your lineup right now to say, we have a shot at getting into the playoffs? Or do you say, you know what, we can't just be in the business of just trying to squeak in and, you know, we're not looking to pack houses here, but get a couple of home dates and call it a successful season. The way this roster is constructed salary-wise, it's looking for something deeper than just getting into the playoffs. So that's the decision. There is a playoff spot available. Do you just want to squeak in and be part of that mushy middle in the NHL, or do you want to take a run at it, or do you say we need to tear this thing down? It seems as if, really, there's only two options for Nashville here. Taking a long run at it is off the table. Maybe squeaking in is on the table, and so is rebuild. What's the decision for David Poile? It's not an easy one, because a lot of these players have done a lot for this organization. I get that it's not simple.
Jeff, last thing for you here before we let you go. Obviously, the Buffalo Sabres appear to be cursed at this point, and nothing good ever happens with that team. Yeah. Do you think Jack Eichel could end up on the move in Buffalo?
I do, and if you look at how he's played, it seems like a player that's been beaten down by losing for a lot of years. I don't think it's a deadline move. If it does happen, that's more of an off-season move. But I could see Jack Eichel end up somewhere. There have been discussions before. The price tag to get someone like Eichel is enormous, as you can imagine. And there would only be a couple of different teams around the NHL that could put together a package that would be attractive to Buffalo. And I think of the Rangers right away, and I think of the Los Angeles Kings right away. But, yeah, if things continue to plummet the way they are, a couple of things. One, Taylor Hall ain't coming back. And two, I could see Jack Eichel on the move in what would be an enormous, enormous offseason trade.
Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, host of the 31 Thoughts podcast, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Jeff, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Gentlemen, buzz anytime. It's a delight. Thanks. You guys have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Jeff Merrick had to say there and get your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.